This is a UOA on campus production. This podcast was recorded on Kaurna land. We acknowledge the Kaurna people as the original custodians of the land and pay our respects to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples.
You'll want to make a note.
Should you be taking notes or something?
You got a pencil? Write this down, quick.
Why aren't you taking notes?
Write this down.
Aren't you going to write this down?
Did you need me to take notes?
Please take note.
Look at the footnotes.
I should footnote this.
Is there another footnote?
And there's a footnote at the bottom.
Plus footnotes, endnotes, a glossary, and two epilogues.
Find out what it says in the footnotes.
Everyone, welcome back to Take Note. You might have noticed that this episode sounds a little different and we're in your inbox a little earlier than usual. We've been super lucky to chat with so many people this year who've shared incredible stories and advice that we thought maybe we should be turning them into some bite-sized footnotes so that you can listen to them when you need them and on the go. So welcome to Footnotes. In the off week, we'll be going back and picking out the best bits of our episodes so far and maybe even adding in some bonus content here and there. Also, full episodes will always be linked in the show notes, so you can go back and listen to the whole conversation. This first footnote goes back to our very first episode when I chatted with student counsellor Heather and student Lavish, who shared his incredible 25% rule as a way of managing his study. And, you know, for both of you, what are some of your top tips, you know, for new students as they are embarking on those very first classes?
I think a go-to for me is the 25% rule. So I came up with this rule when I was brand new to university. So I'm someone who's a bit of a perfectionist. I have really high expectations for myself. So as you could have guessed, the 25 rule is basically if I say I have to do, like, if I have to do a task, I break it down by half. Then I break it down by half again, and then I change my goal that way. And the other thing I do is I operationalize tasks. So instead of saying, oh, I need to get an HD on the test, I say things like, oh, at 3 p.m. today, I'm going to sit down on my desk, I'm going to open the textbook, and I'm going to take some notes. I'm going to ask questions from my course coordinators. And yeah, operationalizing things makes it easier for you, because rather than having a goal, you have an action. You know what you can actually do to achieve that goal.
That's so awesome.
Thanks.
So awesome.
I wouldn't say that's really great too. I think that it's much easier to set up systems, which you're talking about in operationally, set up systems to achieve a goal rather than to have the goal.
Yeah.
And because that's going to ensure that you actually get things done.
Yeah.
You know, in line with what you want to happen in the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's great.
That's awesome. Mm. And, you know, if someone is listening to this and is, you know, feeling all the feelings about starting uni, what are some of the places that they can go to sort of get that support with that transition?
I just want to really normalize all the feeling because I think that sometimes people think I'm feeling this anxious, I'm having these symptoms that are telling me that I'm stressed, you know, something must be wrong with me. But really it's actually really normal to feel stress and anxious coming to uni. In fact, it's almost strange if you didn't feel that way.
Mm.
And so first of all, having the feeling, just know that you are one of the majority that are having these feelings. So I think that's a really good thing to know. But if you are anxious because everything's unknown, there are lots of tips within your faculty and within the student success team and online. There's student support on the university website that you can go and have a look at, with so many tips. Within that, there's the Wellbeing Hub, which has study tips, socialising tips, relationship tips, and stress and anxiety tips and mental health tips as well. So it's a wealth of information, and I'd really encourage people to have a look at that. I think talking with other students, most will be feeling similar feelings. And I think, as Lavish said, you know, go in with an expectation that most people will want to talk back, will want to connect as well. And so you've got a pretty high chance of success if you just start talking to people. I think if if some of the anxiety persists, if it's starting to get in the way of actually, you know, of talking to people, of actually starting to get into your work, you're feeling that it's become a bit of an obstacle, there's counselling support, which is where I come in and all of my colleagues come in. And so we have really experienced counsellors in the counselling team, and they can provide further strategies as well.
Amazing. And did you find you had any support services that were your go-to, Lavish?
Yes. So I had some assignments this semester that were quite overwhelming for me. So I had to write a 2,000-word report. I had not done anything like that before, and it was related to epidemiology, which I hadn't studied ever before. So I was really overwhelmed, really anxious about that one. The support service that I went to was the Writing Center. Yeah, they have got appointments. They've got drop-ins as well. I think they're starting soon. So I went to Michael. He, I believe, runs the drop-in sessions, and he was really helpful in helping me organize my paragraph structures more, helped me better structure my sentences, helped me with referencing. Other than that, I also actually approached the Math Learning Center for a lot of my courses. And a common assumption is that the Math Learning Center is just for like mathematical courses. It's really not, because math has been in 90% of my courses, and they are really well equipped with dealing with anything related to math. So I think
that's including stats?
Yeah, including statistics. They're amazing at it, yeah. And I think sometimes people think that if I'm approaching the support services, I may like look dumb. I don't think that's the case because, yeah, I mean, 90% of my friends have reached out to it, and I think it just helps you grow your skill set. So I think having that growth mindset is super helpful.
100%, you know, you're basically just upskilling if you're sort of thinking about it like that. Where, how do you learn to be a better writer? You go to places like the Writing Center and you get that help.
I think there's actually a real strength in reaching out for support. Mm-hmm. I think it shows strength rather than, you know, perhaps, you know, not knowing enough or feeling that you're not good enough. Mm-hmm. I think it's a really excellent mindset that you're talking about, that growth mindset.
Yep. Yeah, definitely.
Well, thank you so much to both of you for sharing your thoughts and expertise with us. I'm sure a lot of students can learn a lot from you both.
Thanks, Shannon.
Thanks a lot.
It's the night before your first day of classes and you're raring to go, but the stress about what to take is keeping you up all night. Well, never fear, we're going to run you through what our students pack for a day of study. Obviously, you will need a laptop or tablet, a notebook and pens, headphones, and of course, your emotional support water bottle. But what else might you need?
Pack of cards. Sometimes you got to play cards. Like, you never know. You never know when, but it happens.
I like bringing something to do with my hands, like crochet, just to keep me occupied sometimes during lectures if I don't feel like taking notes.
Umbrella to avoid like the raining days.
Students should carry their headphones, basically, so whenever they get their free time, they could probably listen to a podcast or music.
So water bottle, obviously, my notebook, the book I'm reading at the moment, a random t-shirt, and my charger.
I think the biggest one is every single charger that I own for every device, because it's so annoying when you things start to die and you don't have them on you. That's the biggest thing.
So I used to carry around a little like UV light because I have a tattoo on my wrist that is in UV ink. So basically it glows under UV light. So it used to be a fun kind of trick. I'd be like, guys, who wants to see my glowing tattoo?
So for me, it's definitely like a wall charger with USB-A and USB-C. So I can charge both my phone and also like my iPad if it goes flat.
I normally do keep a shopping bag inside my bag because whenever I go for shopping after uni or something like that. And one other thing is my post-it, which I normally just chuck inside my bag.
A little bit of everything. I will not leave my house without my headphones because long bus rides and everything. And my bag is so heavy, so I really recommend bringing in a backpack instead. So not like one of those tote bags. So yeah, that's what I got today.
Apart from a really good calculator if you're doing a science program, I think a reusable cup for coffee.
So I love to chuck my Rubik's Cube in my bag. You know, those long bus rides to uni. Also, just if I get bored during class, it's just nice to have something to fidget with.
I guess what sticks out to me is like I keep lip balm and moisturizer in my bag a lot because I get like dry hands and dry lips all the time. So that's what I keep in my bag.
Might be a bit old-fashioned maybe, but a diary just to keep track of, you know, what study I have to do each night and kind of stay organized.
Thank you.
Take note.
Next time, I promise to read all the footnotes.